But as is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed to them, although through them us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what a man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has all known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. This is from the Word of God.
Blessed it is when young men will submit their will to the will of God and have the courage to stand before God's people and read Scripture. So we always want to encourage those who are in the faith, especially those young in the faith, to continue to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. To God be the glory. This morning, we're going to continue our study on who is God. And on this morning, as we look at another aspect of God, we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit all month. And the reason why I want us to look at who God is, because as we know who God is, then we will learn how to govern ourselves. When our view of God is where it needs to be, even when we fall short of his glory, which will happen at times, we will learn how to go to God in humble submission with a contrite heart, trembling at his word, telling him, I'm sorry, and I'm turning. Friends, the way that we view God is the way that we live life. So I want us to look at the Holy Spirit today, and who is he? One of the most important studies that we should embark on after our conversion to Jesus Christ. Eventually, after we get off of the milk, we have to be thriving toward maturity, looking at the studies of the Holy Spirit. I know for a fact that you may be visiting with us. Maybe you have just obeyed the gospel. Maybe you have just turned your life back around. You're starting to go back to worship. And we want to commend you on that. And we want to encourage you in that. And we want to let you know from the onset that this study may seem a little bit on the deep side, if that's how you're thinking. But I'm going to do my level best to bring it down as simple as possible. And really, you got a treat. Let me tell you why. Because I am a simple-minded man. If it gets way up here, I can't understand it. So I got to break it down as much as I can in order to understand the material. And that's in any subject. So we're going to be looking at this, and I want us to take our time and look at these passages and think through what God is teaching us. And friends, you are intelligent enough to understand it. Doesn't matter what the religious world teaches. Doesn't matter what some professor may say. Friends, if it's in the Word of God, we can understand it. It may take some contemplation. It may take some thinking. It may take us meditating and mulling over it just some. But I know for a fact that God desires for us to understand his will. The Holy Spirit, God's medium, if you will, of revealing his word to the apostles. Why? To teach mankind righteousness, holiness, sanctification, salvation, and ultimately glorification. What does all those words mean? Number one, righteousness, meaning to be declared right before God. Nobody can be declared right before God except through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, I am the way. The Hebrews writer understood that because Jesus was that one that body, his body was prepared for our sacrifice, if you will, Hebrews chapter 10. We understand that holiness, God is holy, 1 Peter 1 and verse 16. And since God is holy, God had to send his son, he had to shed his blood in order for us to come in contact with it by faith and baptism in order for us to even approach God. But sanctification, set apart for a special work, salvation, deliverance from sin, deliverance from death, if you will, and ultimately glorification, which means that we will receive a new body and be with God throughout eternity. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1 as we take this short perusal through the scriptures concerning the Holy Spirit. And friends, it is my desire to look at these particular passages before we get to the passage that was read in our hearing. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Here it is. Knowing this first, that no prophecy, nothing revealed from God, friends, of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Which means that we can't go into a corner and subjectively come up with what we think God desires for us to know. No, sir. God has left us his word and has revealed it through the Holy Spirit, through words to the apostles that they may speak it. And friends, we have the word of God in our hands that we can know for a fact what God has said in his word. Verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved of the Holy Ghost. Friends, God chose a way in order for us to have his word. Yet there are many false claims in the world that we live in today, even maybe among some of us in here, who believe that they have the Holy Spirit within them, that they can be able to bring up scriptures and bring up things that God has not revealed to all mankind, and therefore God is speaking directly to them, through them, for mankind. Friends, after this lesson, I hope and pray you will meditate on that not being true. False claims are made on and against the Holy Spirit and how he is still working in under the same way or in the same way that he did under the Old Testament system and in the first century when the church first began. And friends, I want us to consider, who is the Holy Spirit? Turn your Bibles to John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, verse 15, John chapter 16, I'm sorry. Notice what your Bible here has to say, starting at verse number 5. John chapter 16, starting at verse number 5. Notice some things that's going on in this particular text. Jesus is talking to his apostles, i.e. disciples. But now I go away to him who sent me. This is Jesus speaking, talking to his disciples, and notice what he says. I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go to the one who sent me. It has to be the Father. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict you. Now, notice what's going to take place here. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And now verses 9 and following, he's going to tell them what all of this means. And friends, if we ever want to know what God says, let's just read. Let's not go straight to the commentaries. Let's not start trying to figure out what he's talking about. Let's just keep reading. Notice what he says. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. See, Jesus wanted to say more to his apostles, but at this particular time, his teachings were already overwhelming in their minds. So, therefore, he had to send the Holy Spirit. The Father has to send the Holy Spirit, John 14, verses 20 through verse 26. Notice what he says. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, notice, now, friends, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He, a personality. Just like when you think of the Father, he. When you think of Christ, he. The Holy Spirit, he. Now, I know we've all heard people say, call the Holy Spirit an it, right? We've all heard that. Now, friends, that's a very important point, because our God is not an it. Okay? We respect God. And he has demonstrated to us through the scriptures that he is of the masculine form. He, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Notice what he's going to do. He's going to guide you into all truth. Now, friends, keep in mind that Jesus is talking to his apostles. He's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to you or I. Friends, this is going to be miraculous. This has nothing to do for you or me. It has everything to do with the apostles. He's going to guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare to you. All things that, notice this, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And notice all of those things that the Holy Spirit was going to be doing. Friends, this is vitally important. Because we even hear some of our religious friends and they say, well, the Holy Spirit is going to guide me into all the truth. The Holy Spirit told me. Friends, keeping things in their context, Jesus is talking only to his apostles. Amen. You know why that's so true, friends, and why we need to understand that? Because if we're not careful, we'll fall prey to God telling us things that he has not told anyone else. But God has told you and told me this very same thing, and we all get it through the word. All right, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's read. And as we go into the very mind of God, yes, we understand that there were different writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Jude, James. But friends, the author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit himself. The author of the Bible is God. You want to know whose words these are? They are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse number 1, we're going to read and we're going to make some comments. And we're just going to allow God to teach us. And really, that's my responsibility as gospel teacher, is to take the mind of God, assimilate the information, gather it all together, and transmit it in a very honest and open way. That God may be glorified, the church may be edified, and the world may be notified that Jesus Christ is Lord. Verse 1. And I, brethren, Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech and of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching, notice, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Now, friends, that's vitally important to our study today. Because, remember, Jesus and the Father were going to be sending the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was going to be sent to the apostles, and he was going to be guiding them into all the truth, which suggests he was going to be guiding them in words. Okay? Language. It's vitally important that we understand that when God communicates, he communicates in language. Language is so important. And notice, Paul said that when I came, I didn't come with persuasive words of human wisdom. What do we have all around us? I'm not knocking your education that you're getting in college or in high school or whether you're being homeschooled. It doesn't matter where you're getting your education. It does, but you know what I'm talking about. But Friends, God's word supersedes man's words. Notice what he says. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, friends, we know for a fact that most people in the world base all of their information on what men say. As a matter of fact, they will quote a man quicker than they will quote Paul or James or Jude or Jesus. Here, Paul says that I'm coming at you, I'm coming to you, brethren, and I'm not approaching you with the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If you are a visitor with us and you're looking for a congregation that's going to stand on the word of God, you found it. We're not going to give you and pontificate things from men. We're not going to proclaim things from men. We're going to proclaim those things of God. And the reason why is because God is the one that offers the salvation and sanctification and justification. And he motivates us in order to go to glorification. Verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God. How? In a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Here it is. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. What does that mean? Well, some say he's talking about heaven. Friends, in all of the 9 verses that we have read already, has the word heaven even come up yet? No, sir. It hasn't. He's not talking about heaven. Well, let's see what he's talking about. Verse number 10. But God has revealed. God is talking about revelation. Paul is talking about revelation. Revelation revealing what? Notice. He has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. How do I know what's in the mind of God? Well, Paul is about to tell us in the very next verse. Notice verse number 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? In essence, what Paul is saying is, how can I know what's in Nate's mind unless Nate tells me? How are you going to know what I'm thinking unless I tell you? How are we going to know what's in God's mind unless he tells us? Which teaches us that I can know what's in the mind of God. And Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things are of God. But God has revealed some things unto us, and we need to keep those things. Those secret things, we don't even need to worry about. It's amazing that a lot of scholars try to figure out what are the secret things. Well, if they were revealed, God would have revealed them. Therefore, they're secret, so leave them alone. Friends, God has revealed his will and word to us. For every subject in the Bible, God has spoken on it. Therefore, we can go to it and know for a fact what God desires out of us. Notice the next verse. Verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, in order that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Paul is talking about verbal inspiration. That which has been verbally given unto us. How do I know what God is thinking? I know what God is thinking when I read the pages of inspiration. Why? Because those men in whom the Holy Spirit inspired, they told us exactly what God wanted us to know. And any time that I go outside of the Word of God, I'm going to have issues and problems in my life, and you're going to have them in your life. You know what this also teaches us, Brother Pope Joy? This teaches us that God, or the Spirit, I'm sorry, doesn't speak in mumbo jumbo. What's that? Y'all know y'all heard people speak in tongues. They say they speak in tongues. What is that? I'm glad my brother found that music, because you know what? It's crazy. That makes no sense. Let me prove to you the Bible, that when the Holy Spirit speaks, he always speaks in language that can be understood. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. Notice what your Bible says. Now, I want you to turn with me. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse number 1, notice what the Bible says. Now, the Spirit speaks clearly. Some versions may say expressly. Friends, does that make sense? The Spirit speaks clearly or expressly. Friends, which means that the Holy Spirit speaks with plainness of speech. We can know for a fact that when we go to the Word of God, that the Word of God comes from the very mind of God, and we can understand exactly what he is saying. Put these in your notes. We don't have time to go over them. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. Here the Hebrews writer brings up the Holy Spirit, and he tells him that the Spirit says clearly. In Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through verse 33, in verse number 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot. Doesn't sound like mumble jumble right there, right? It sounds like clear, articulated language. Which also teaches us, friends, that when we consider the Holy Spirit's teaching, we have to understand that he inspired men and revealed unto man. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse number 16. Notice what the Bible here has to say. And friends, we have to keep these things in mind, for they will help us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, God breathed. God has given us his mind. God has given us his word. God has put his word into the hearts of men. And when he did that, they then spoke what God revealed unto them. He inspired those men. They were holy men. Notice what the Bible here says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Notice the profitability of the word. For it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's why Jesus gave or told the apostles on what to teach and what to preach. This is why he told them in John chapter 16, I have many things I need to tell you, but you can't bear them now. But the Holy Spirit is going to teach you, he's going to guide you, rather, into all the truth. Why? Because he wants all men to live the right life. Now, friends, I don't know if we can make this any clearer, but we do know for a fact that according to Ephesians chapter 3, turn your Bibles there, the first five verses, that God desired to reveal his will. But why? Why was God desiring to reveal his will? Because he wanted Jew and Gentile to know for a fact that everyone was on equal playing ground when it came to salvation. Oh, the Holy Spirit wasn't just sent just to be sent, Brother Pope George. There was a reason why he was sent. And we have to ask ourselves, according to John chapter 16, 7 through verse number 13, we have to ask ourselves, is the Holy Spirit's work complete as relates to a miraculous fashion? The answer is yes. Why? 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13, he has left us his word. And because he has left us his word, there is no more revelation. Meaning that a person can't go into a corner and say, hold on, God is talking to me. You can't do that. Why? Because there's no way for us to check to see if he's right, because it's not here. And this is how we can know if someone's right or wrong. We go to the word. You know, time is out for members of the Lord's church to just be taking people's word without the scriptures. You don't have to say amen, but at least go like that. You know why? Because we're taking too many people's word and we're not checking behind them. And friends, God has left us his word to protect us. If you want to know what the hedge is, that's a hedge right there. He has left us his word. Notice Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. Indeed, you have heard of the dispensation, the time of the Spirit, if you will, of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which you, when you read, hold on, we can understand the will of God. By reading the will of God. I want to challenge every last one of us as we come to a close. We're going to pick up on next week because I need to just lay this foundation. But friends, read your Bibles. How can we know what God has inspired the apostles? How can we know what he has revealed through his word if we don't read? We got to read. We got to fall in love with the author. You know those books that y'all pick up and read and you can't put it down because you start at the beginning and you can't put it down till you get to the end. You ought to fall in love with the author. You ought to fall in love with the revealer, the one that has revealed his word that's going to help you in your life. Notice what he says, which in other ages was made known to the sons of men as it has been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles. Not us, the apostles and prophets. Not false teachers, but to the apostles and the prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Friends, God wants us to know exactly who is the Holy Spirit. As we come to a close, very swiftly, how does this help me? Because we're going to be looking at some deeper things on next week. Just laying the foundation. But how does this help me? How does the revealed word help me in my life? How does what the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles and prophets to write help me in my life? Number one, it gives me great assurance, Brother Raphael, that I have an origin. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and Genesis 2 and verse number 7, my origin is God. The very one that inspired the men to write is the very one that you and I came from. Oh no, we didn't come from monkeys. We didn't come from gorillas. We didn't come from some type of amoeba or some type of molecule. No, we came from God. Friends, the Bible teaches us that, and we can go to the Word of God and substantiate that. And what is connected with this God of heaven? Oh, Sister Evelyn, I lied. I said I wasn't going to be preaching, didn't I? I said I'm going to be lectured. I don't even need a rag this morning. I lied. God, kind of, y'all forgive me. But you know what's connected to being made in the image of God, which the Spirit gave us through Moses in the book of Genesis? Verse number 28 of Genesis 1, a blessing. We're blessed because of that. You know the children that y'all have that's making all that noise? They're blessings. Don't look at them otherwise. Don't do it. Psalm 127, the first five verses. They're blessings. Your children are a blessing. You ought to treat them like that. I know it gets tiresome sometimes. I know you get weary. But the Spirit teaches us through the Word. And Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, hey, they're a blessing. Look at them that way. Your wife, she's a blessing. Your husband, she's a blessing. He's a blessing. They're a blessing. Number two, you know what else helps us and how the Holy Spirit teaches us through his Word? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 13. The Holy Spirit teaches us through Solomon that we have purpose in life. Oh yeah, we have an origin, but we have a purpose here. Fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Friends, there is a reason why we are here. It's not to make a lot of money. Nope. It's not that people can know your name. Nope. You know, there are some great preachers in the backwoods of East Texas that none of us know. But you know what they're doing? They're preaching the gospel. They're affecting lives. They're saving souls. They're doing the will of God. And there's some Christians that we don't know anything about in the backwoods of Africa. You know what they're doing? They're fearing God. They're keeping his commandments. And they're reading that which the Holy Spirit has left us, his word. You know what they're going to hear on that last day? They're going to hear, well done. Yeah. Friends, shouldn't we read what the Holy Spirit left us? Should we read the word? We have purpose here, friends. And our purpose, especially when you consider all dispensations, whether it was under the patriarchal system, Mosaic system, and the system that we live under today, is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And number three, not only does Spirit gives us assurance and affirmation to do God's will as relates to our origin, as relates to our purpose, but it shows us our destiny. Friends, we have a place where we're going. John chapter 5, turn there to be our last point. And we'll discuss more on the Holy Spirit on next week. And friends, we're just going to touch the hem of the garment, because I understand that it is a deep subject, and it requires great contemplation. But the more we love God, the more we meditate on the scriptures, God will then be giving us a greater understanding as we ponder his word. So we have a destination. It is appointed unto man wants to die, but after death, the judgment. What are you going to hear? In John chapter 5, starting at verse 28, do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth who have done, those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Sorry about that. And those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Friends, which one do you want? Jesus spoke these words. But keep in mind that the Holy Spirit guided these men to write what Jesus said. You think they remembered all of that, what Jesus said when they were there? Of course not. The Holy Spirit gave them what to write. Why? So we ourselves can read exactly what took place. And one thing about God, God will not lie. And since God will not lie, we can trust him. There are over 500 passages concerning the Holy Spirit. Brother Popejoy, I'm not bragging, but I went through all 500 and something of them. Because I wanted to make sure that I have a good understanding as we transmit information. I challenge you. Look at all of them if you can. Let's stop taking man's word as relates to what the Holy Spirit is doing. But let's go to the word of God ourselves, and then let's have great assurance and affirmation that what God's word says is true, and it came forth from the Holy Spirit, given to holy men to write down on parchment, to write down on paper, to give it to us, that God may give us a book. One thing we know for a fact, God is the greatest book writer out here. Brother Dennis, isn't that beautiful? God is a book writer. And we love saying, have you read so-and-so's book? You know what I'm going to start saying? Have you read so-and-so's book? Have you read God's book? When was the last time you just stopped and read God's book? Next week, we're going to talk more about God's book and what the Holy Spirit reveals in his book. If you're not a child of God, you know what the Holy Spirit teaches through the word on what you must do to be saved? Oh, yeah, on the day of Pentecost, Peter was preaching that first gospel sermon. You know what he was preaching? He was preaching the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross, but he just didn't die some, well, like Omar said, he wasn't just shot. Well, friends, he was brutally beaten for all of us, for his enemies, for those who didn't love him, for us who sinned. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life to them. And friends, that's the life that we want through Jesus Christ our Lord. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn away from sin. Repent. Turn. And really, that's the message of the New Testament. Really, the whole Bible. The New Testament, repent, repent, repent. Turn away from sin. Turn. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and you need special prayer, let us pray for you. I want to invite everyone back tonight. Tonight's going to be a very important lesson. I invite all of you back. Invite your friends. Very important lesson tonight on the theory and practicum of ridding sin. Friends, we can rid sin out of our lives, and we can keep it out. Tonight, come back. Bring your friend. Bring someone who's not a member of the church. I guarantee if they hear it, you'll be having another Bible study with them. We'll be baptizing them into Christ. That's why we're here. We're not here to keep house. We're here to baptize folk into Christ, keep folk saved. Amen? Let's do that as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.